It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now to the Department of Energy, the DOE, and its work to strengthen tribal energy sovereignty. The Energy Department convened more than 60 tribal leaders on Capitol Hill last week for a nation-to-nation summit exploring how tribes can develop clean energy projects and make decisions about fossil fuels and their own energy resources. Join in on Energy Sovereignty, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Matt Dannenberg is here, tribal liaison for the DOE's Office of Congressional and Intergovernmental Affairs. He previously worked as an organizer and program director at the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, and he is an enrolled member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Matt, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, it's an honor to be here with you this morning. I've been a huge fan of the show cutting my teeth as a community organizer.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Well, let's start with the two-day Tribal Clean Energy Summit. You had hundreds of participants. You welcomed people on the second day. What were the summit's top-line takeaways?
Yeah, we have a lot of opportunities right now at the Department of Energy, and it's just a lot of information. I think that is the number one takeaway. So we have a big job to do to get the, you know, over $62 billion that was appropriated to Department of Energy on clean energy infrastructure projects out to the public, including tribal communities, as well as all the new appropriations and programs and mechanisms we have through the Inflation Reduction Act. So that was a major takeaway. We had a huge opportunity to connect everyone from the National Climate Advisor, Ali Zaidi, to DOE senior leadership with tribal leaders in interactive sessions and in a live stream public conference with PowerPoint slides, getting all that information to folks so that we can make sure we utilize all these historic dollars at this historic time.
At this historic time, because we also see oil and gas prices rising sharply. We see the pressure mounting for nations to address climate change now and right now. Can you give us your assessment? Are tribes well-positioned to meet the demand for renewable energy? Where do you see the gaps?
Yeah, I'd say tribes are not only well-positioned, but they are uniquely positioned with their special trust relationship with the federal government, as well as their special tax status. And just one example here is one of the new authorities in the Inflation Reduction Act is our Tribal Energy Loan Guarantee Program. We've made it easier to access these loans, which could cover 100% of the debt for a clean energy project for a tribe. And it extended its loan authority from $2 billion to $20 billion. So this is a game changer, and partnered with direct payments from the Department of Treasury, tribes can really start to lay the groundwork for clean energy deployment projects. I think the other major takeaway is, you know, tribes are as unique as the 574 of them all across the nation are at a different point in their energy sovereignty journey. So some are just getting started, and others are really looking at the potential of launching utility scale energy projects and being major players in the energy market.
Do tribal leaders and the federal government agree on what truly is tribal energy sovereignty? Are they on the same page?
Well, that was exactly the conversation we're looking to convene. I mean, as I was saying, energy sovereignty, I think, is just as unique to each community and each tribal nation and their own sovereignty. And so to us, energy sovereignty and what we heard during the summit is it's really a tribal nation or Alaskan villages' ability to have a choice in the power that they're consuming, they're producing, and potentially owning, and even regulating themselves. So there's so much work to be done to develop all that expertise and knowledge and to fully, you know, realize that tribal energy sovereignty. So we got our work cut out for us.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about energy needs, climate change challenges, and tribal lands, energy sovereignty with Matt Dannenberg here, tribal liaison for the Department of Energy. You can join in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Matt, it sounds like with the infrastructure law and the more recent Inflation Reduction Act that financing for energy projects is really starting to flow or be mandated because tribal energy financing can be a hurdle. How does access to capital work on tribal lands to get like a solar program financed and off the ground?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it really depends on the scale of the project. I think a great entry point and a great Wisconsin example is, and I'm not just being biased because it's my tribe, but the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa has just completed phase one of a project, the Ishkonage Nawadene solar microgrid. So this is a smaller solar project plus battery storage. And is really in response to the, you know, historic 2016 floods that took place in the Shawangan Bay region that really cut off energy and roads and infrastructure. So we needed to make sure that, as we know, these kind of flooding events are going to continue to be exacerbated by climate change, that the community is resilient, and now they have this microgrid and battery storage that can power essential services, the clinics, foodstuffs where our elders and our most vulnerable residents need to get their supplies and essential services.
That's a microgrid, but will you see projects that are linking to our country's main grid system for energy?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in terms of financing those projects, I think that utilizing the Tribal Energy Loan Guarantee Program is going to be a major avenue for tribes to get access to capital for those funds. And we are currently in talks with the Treasury, as this is a newer authority. And so we're ironing out the wrinkles in terms of how this will all work with the direct pay and also how our loans could be stacked with various clean energy tax credits to develop these projects on or off Indian lands, as long as they are a majority owned tribal business that is conducting the energy project. And I think the other major hurdle towards, you know, more of these utility scale size projects is often interconnection to the grid. So mm-hmm. is there that, transmission, distribution infrastructure, substations that would accommodate a new project. And so we do see some tribes, you know, taking advantage of, we have this major transmission line running through and working with, grid operators and their state commissions to, make plans for major utility scale solar projects and getting those online. And it's a very exciting time.
Matt Dannenberg with us, tribal liaison for the U.S. Department of Energy, as we explore the federal government's work to strengthen energy sovereignty and how it's unfolding in Indigenous communities here in Wisconsin, across the nation as well. Join in 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here as we discuss tribal nations, clean energy, and energy sovereignty. Here in the Midwest, more than two dozen energy-related projects are underway on tribal lands to combat climate change and boost energy independence. And that's according to the Tribal Energy Projects database. It's housed within the Department of Energy. Join in on energy sovereignty and energy projects you want to talk about. 800-642-1234. Matt Dannenberg is here, tribal liaison for the U.S. Department of Energy, and stays with us. Let's bring on John in Superior. John, hi. What would you like to bring up?
I was wondering why the reservations haven't utilized the ability to produce hemp oil. Hemp oil was originally set up to be able to be used in diesel engines because the diesel engine was designed to run on hemp oil, not a petroleum product. And the byproduct is so much cleaner. I just feel that the tribes and the reservations have the ability to produce a product now that is being federally regulated in a way that other people can't.
Alternative fuels, John, thank you. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the question, John. And that is not something I'm super well versed in, but you know, I've heard of, I believe, some tribes even in Michigan that are, you know, looking into hemp production and hemp byproducts. And often those are, you know, regulated and need to be approved under Department of Interior and Bureau of Indian Affairs and regulated in that sense. And so definitely something, you know, that we're exploring in all of the above, you know, approach when it comes to our energy solutions. And I think that's another key aspect of tribal energy sovereignty that, you know, it's, you know, tribes utilizing the resources that they have on their lands and ultimately, you know, the nexus with agriculture and food. And I think there's just a lot of upside in pairing energy products to agriculture and also water stewardship. So definitely some things that, you know, tribes are actually looking to and putting proposals in and getting creative about and doing that in regulatory environments in their states and with other agencies.
Certainly the legacy of extractive energy production on tribal lands, that's been controversial between First Nations and the U.S. government. I mean, tribes take different approaches to gas and oil and coal production. What can First Nations and the U.S. government learn from each other's approaches?
Kate, that's the biggest question on my mind right now. It's what keeps me up at night. And, you know, as a Battle River tribal member, I had a lot of experience with the history in Wisconsin here in recent history with the iron ore taconite project that was proposed and a lot of the changes to Wisconsin's mining permitting laws. And that is something that is being evaluated right now. And we've had tribal consultation on in an interagency working group working on at the federal government right now in terms of permitting and mining reform. And we know that a major aspect of combating the climate crisis is decarbonizing our transportation sector and transitioning to electric vehicles and alternative fuel vehicles. And that the batteries for those are often, you know, contain really crucial, critical minerals such as nickel, cobalt, and of course, lithium, which has also been a bit of a hot button issue. And so there are a lot of conversations happening right now with, you know, tribes across the North America and those that have had a lot of experience in sourcing these. And how do we, you know, all come together and have a path that is just and equitable for tribes and not putting them on the front lines of this again and providing assurances that we're going to do things the right way in an effort to combat climate.
And considering tribal nations control more than 50 million acres of land in the U.S., another hot button issue there is Enbridge. And, you know, a federal judge ruled Canadian energy company Enbridge guilty of trespassing by continuing to operate its Line 5 oil and gas pipeline across the Bad River Reservation. The judge had stopped short of ordering the pipeline to shut down, a stop by the tribe. So how does the Energy Department handle pipeline disputes like that involving tribes?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Kate. And, you know, first and foremost, it's, you know, it's understanding the history, first and foremost, and then early consultation. And so making sure that we're in touch with tribal leaders about, you know, projects, whether they're changing or expanding or being rerouted, and making sure that we're, you know, hearing from tribal leaders first and foremost about what their desires are as a sovereign nation, and taking that into account as we're making decisions on what to do in terms of pipeline permitting, which is handled by another agency. But of course, it's an all government approach to these really complex and controversial topics.
Talking about energy and climate change with Matt Dannenberg, tribal liaison for the Federal Department of Energy. You can join in at 800-642-1234 as we look at energy sovereignty and what it means. Let's go to Alan in Athens. Alan, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi. I've been interested in energy independence for literally decades. My background's pharmaceuticals, but I kind of consider myself, not kind of, I'm an inventor. And I wanted to get the guest's name clearly and offer the possibility of a conversation about a planned community built around energy independence, but also food independence.
Alan, thank you. So, Matt, certainly elevating this, as you said, the nexus of so many different things, whether it's energy, food, and other health systems, perhaps all part of the energy sovereignty formula, if you will.
Yeah, I have an open door and happy to share, my email address with folks, especially those that have innovative ideas in tribal energy sovereignty and that nexus. And so, yeah, Matthew, dot Dannenberg at hq.doe.gov. Happy to have conversations with folks and entertain any big ideas, because as you're saying, now is the time to really be catalyzing these ideas and funding them, because we're at a pivotal point in the climate crisis. And what I'm really excited and wanted to talk about for a minute, Kate, is next Monday. I'm going to be speaking at a great convening by the Wisconsin Academy of Arts and Sciences, their Climate Fast Forward conference, which is really going to be, building off of and taking ideas like this from the caller, and building off of Wisconsin's clean energy plan, as well as some past convenings to look at what are the action steps now that the state can do in order to take action on climate moving forward. So convening, really big thought leaders from all over the state, and they're really incorporating traditional ecological knowledge, which is, something we're also really working diligently on at the federal government. So just really excited for that convening and the Wisconsin Academy event happening in Madison next week. And encourage folks to register and participate in that event at wisconsinacademy.org and tune
Lots
in,
of
'cause
conversations around. Yes. So, as you became Department of Energy's tribal liaison this year, you're working across all offices within the agency. What do you want to accomplish in the job?
The legacy I'd ultimately like to leave is a tribal consultation strategy and institutionalized ability for all those offices to be interacting with tribes better than I found it. And so that is looking at all the best practices across the federal government and making sure that all of our offices at DOE are working with tribes, building those relationships with tribes to make sure that their funding is getting to tribal communities. And so how are we building up the staff capacity in DOE to support tribes and train them so that they're astute and the special trust relationship? And then how do we ultimately advance tribes in their energy sovereignty journey, and what does that actual roadmap look like? So there is so many technical assistance opportunities at the department, and making sure that those are all really clear for tribes and that we're assisting them onward in their energy sovereignty journey is my ultimate goal.
We only have a few seconds left, but what would be your message to First Nations here in Wisconsin as they want to work with the Department of Energy and Projects?
Reach out to me. I'm the front door, and we'll get you to the right folks within the Department of Energy. If you've applied before and haven't gotten an award or a grant, don't be discouraged. We are, reevaluating how to make those simpler. And so keep applying, partner up with folks and tribes that have had successful projects, and I'm here to help be a guide in the process.
Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate.
Matt Dannenberg is tribal liaison for the Federal Department of Energy's Office of Congressional and Intergovernmental Affairs. He's an enrolled member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.